Come on, if we could turn to three places, please. We got short time because of all the announcements and honoring our vets. Praise God for a free country. Now that we are beyond the election, we can get into, and people have asked me, Sean, why don't you ever speak about the election and politics? Because of this reason. And I've told you, my vote went to the Supreme Court. I made that very clear. I don't tell vote for this person or vote for that person. I don't do that. Politics divide. They divide. They'll bring disunity. And the church is about unity. Man, us as a congregation, we're about unity. And we look at my simplicity, and we have told you this. Man, my vote goes towards the Bible because the Republican Party of 20 years ago is not the Republican Party today. The Democratic Party of 20 years is not the Democratic Party today. Things are switching and things are turning in roads. So if you rely on one party or the other, things have drastically changed within both of them, and my vote has always gone towards this. What does God say about marriage? What does God say about life? What does God... And we can go on and on and on. So it has nothing to do with a person or a party. It has to do with what God says about this. And it really went to the Supreme Court because they make truly the law of land. So people will say, well, like, man, our pastor didn't really bring forth anything about politics. Politics just bring division. It does. It divides people. As you can see, probably more now than ever with what's taking place. Politics just bring division, and it's crazy. And in the community of church, we're supposed to be unified and together. And it will always be about what God says is right and not what man or this party or this politician or that politician has said. It's about what God says is right. And that's my vote all day long, every day. So now that we're past all that, man, we can get to a place and come into a place of unity to hear what God has for us this morning. Father, we do thank you for today, and we ask that you would speak to us by your Spirit in this place. God, realizing that in this place where two or three are gathered, you're in the midst of us. Your word is alive and powerful. God, it's active and effective to those who will believe it. Father, we understand that it is for us, that we may know you more, God, and we thank you for this day, God, and what you have for us in your word today, that every single one of us walk out of this place different, challenged, changed, convicted in a sense of who we can be in the supernatural of your Holy Spirit. God, what we can tap into in the supernatural of your Holy Spirit who dwells and reigns within us. God, speak to us this morning, please, God. Please, as we continue in this sense of your Holy Spirit and we continue in the sense of your Spirit in us, dwelling in us and the supernatural ability that we can tap into because of him. God, help us to see it, please. Help us to see it. Folks, I ask that you would just come before God and say, God, speak to me here, now, right in this moment, God. Speak to me in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I saw my doorman today. I don't know why he was wearing his Dallas Cowboy. He's a doorman here at Believer's Chapel. He knows better. And then someone said, well, he could take the sweater off. And his wife said, no, he's got Dallas Cowboy shirt on and Dallas Cowboy underwear on. I said, way too much information. I don't want to know about his undies. But anyways, I think he slept in his footy pajamas in his Dallas Cowboys last night. So I was told, but I don't know if that's true. I'm talking about Tony, his footies, pajamas. But and I was hoping that Dallas would put Romo in. I'm like, please disrupt the whole system. Dallas is tough, man. You can't take anything away from the star. They are tough. And Pittsburgh has been struggling, but Pittsburgh's going to show up today, and it's going to be a fantastic game. If you're into college football, huge upsets this weekend. I was up till after midnight last night watching the whole Iowa game and the Michigan game and how crazy that was. The awesome thing is last time, this is crazy news, and then we'll actually get into preaching. The crazy thing is this, that the last time Iowa beat Michigan is when Michigan's coach, Jim Harbaugh, was their quarterback. That's the last time Iowa upset Michigan is when Jim Harbaugh was actually the Michigan quarterback. It's just crazy, and it was a very similar game. But anyways, come on, Romans 14, verse 17. Come on, let's get in this, because we got short time. I'd love to talk football, but we got short time here. Come on. And we just, in this, you know that we've been in a series on the Holy Spirit. And man, I hope that it has been a blessing. I hope that it is changing our thoughts and changing who we see as the Holy Spirit, that he is within us. And in that, there's power and there's authority. Last week, you talked about really what it meant to really be filled with the Spirit and walk in that authority. You want your marriage changed? Be filled with the Spirit. You want your mindset to change? Be filled with the Spirit. You want different things in our lives to be changed? It simply comes to be filled with the Spirit and the fruit thereof in that, and that's just powerful. And this week, I looked at wanting to close out the Holy Spirit series in regards to spiritual gifts. A lot of questions on spiritual gifts and different things, and I was totally planning on closing this out this week, but then SEEK happened. Man, who is it seek Sunday night? This is so powerful. I'm telling you, man, folks, in December, don't miss our time at Seek. It's so real before God. Such a presence in this place, and people just crying out to God for their month. And just, we had the ability and the privilege to be able to pray over people at Seek. It was so beautiful. And then in that, God changed my heart towards the message in this weekend in regards to the Holy Spirit. And we'll get back to the Holy Spirit in a few weeks. We'll talk about the gifts in that, but we're going to take a 2-week break, and we're going to talk about the season of Thanksgiving. Be wonderful. But today, because of Seek and the different things to realize at times where the church is, and especially at times where people are. And I've heard even so much this week about people who have just lost hope, and people who just have lost peace, and people who just can't find joy anywhere, inside and outside the church, specifically outside the church. And man, as one who understands peace, one who understands joy, one who has hope, it breaks my heart doing everything. This is why it's so important as a church to reach as many people as we possibly can reach for those who have no hope, for those who really walk with chaos and no peace, for those who just have a surface level joy. And as soon as anything goes further in regards to complications or circumstances or tribulation or trials, it goes past just surface level and goes deep, the joy is just not there because it's just simply a surface level joy. And we come to a point to really understand what it is to never lose your joy. My dad, I grew up in a house where my dad would always say, Sean, don't let it steal your joy. Sean, don't let it, you didn't get the job. Sean, don't let it steal your joy. Sean, you didn't get this. Don't let it steal your joy. Sean, you didn't, somebody said this. Sean, don't let it steal your joy. I mean, he realizes that joy is not surface level. I can't let somebody steal my joy. That's my choice to let somebody come in and take my joy because of a circumstance or a person. That's my choice. Or I can say, no, that joy is of the Holy Spirit, and you can't take that. You can't take my peace. I have peace, and it's a supernatural peace that's found in the Holy Spirit. You can't have it. No matter what the circumstance is, no matter what the people is, no matter what the hardship is, you can't have my peace because it's a supernatural peace. You can't have my joy. Try to steal my joy. You can't have my joy because it's a supernatural. The doctor report can't have my joy. Because it's a supernatural joy. The financial report can't have my joy. The losing the job or coming to, you can't have my joy because it's a supernatural joy. It's not based on circumstance. It's not based on people. It's based on the Holy Spirit who's in me, and that's a supernatural work. And gang, what is it as a church? What is it as a church if we tap into that? What is it in a family, in a marriage, that we tap into righteousness and a peace and a joy that is in the Holy Spirit and is supernatural within our own walls at home? It's supernatural within the walls of the community of church. It's just supernatural when we leave this place and the church really shows up on the outside for people hurting and struggling, that they realize that, man, you can't take my joy. You can't have it because it's supernatural. My joy is not based on circumstance. My peace isn't based on a doctor's report. My peace is based on the Holy Spirit that reigns within me. And in that, I have a hope. And in that, I have a calmness. And in that, I have this cheer that rises up within me no matter what's taking place, because you can't take it. You can't have it. How many times have you really come to a place where you know the enemy is just pounding you and pounding you and pounding you, and he's after your peace? And he's after your joy. And you rise up and say, no, you can't have it. It's supernatural. It's within me. And nothing you have for me can take my joy. What if we lived there? Honestly, church, what if we lived there? In a sense of what that would look like in our walk with Christ. I just say this, man, if you are one who understands who Jesus is and what Jesus has done for you, this is a message to the church. This is a message to the follower of Christ, that you understand what it is to repent, to believe, and to surrender. You understand that Jesus is the only way to salvation. It's only through him. He is the door that leads to life. No one can get to the Father except through him. And you truly believe that. That's your belief. That's your faith, that it's Jesus on a cross for me. And when the Holy Spirit comes in, there's a supernatural power that we tap into in regards to righteousness, peace, and joy. But unless you're truly aware that it's supernatural, you just, issues, people, circumstances, doctor's reports, finances, whatever the case, the enemy will try to knock and he'll try to take that peace and he'll try to rip that joy out. And I could see my dad saying again and again, Sean, don't ever let it steal your joy. A bad report would come, don't let it steal your joy. A person would enter in, that's don't let him steal your joy. Over and over and over, my dad understood what it is to have a deep-rooted joy and not a surface-level joy that something just comes snatch it away. It's supernatural. Look at this, Romans 14, verse 17. For the kingdom of God, there's two kingdoms. There's only two kingdoms. There's Satan's kingdom, his domain of darkness, and there's God's kingdom, the kingdom of light. So when you talk about the kingdom of God, it's talking about those who are in the kingdom of light. Hello, church, that is us. For the kingdom of light, the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. That is stuff that they're not looking at, those who belong to the kingdom of God, on stuff that they're putting in their mouth and their bodies. Not what goes in, but understand this, look at this. But righteousness, peace, and joy and the Holy Spirit. This is what identifies the characteristic of those who are in the kingdom of God. It's not what you're eating and drinking. It's not what you're putting in. But what identifies the kingdom of God is when you're squeezed, what really comes out? When you look at righteousness, this word righteousness, highlight this. It literally means right living according to what God says is right. And we're just coming off crazy political season. It's not what Republicans say. It's not what Democrats say. It's not what political parties say. It's not what popular view says, or political view, or family view, or it is what God's view is. God says what's right. And if we're followers of Jesus, then we're all in on that side. We're all in on God's side of what God said is right. And you cannot, please hear me, you cannot walk in a sense of where God calls something sin and think that it's okay just to walk in sin, even though God says it's wrong, to say, well, I'm still right. Can't do that. Because when you're righteous, you're living right, not according to what you think, feel, or say, but according to what God said already, what was right. And he doesn't change his mind, folks. So we have to look at this and say, man, if I'm a follower of Jesus, I want to walk in a way that is right, according to what God said is right. That's righteousness. And the byproducts of that are peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. And the word peace here, it means a calmness. It means a rest. It means tranquility. It means harmony. And I believe that this is even talking about a harmony within the church, a harmony within those who are in the kingdom of God. That means that we walk in a sense with knowing what God has planned for us as a community and us as a church, that we walk in a sense of what it is to have peace with one another, to walk in a way to understand that peace, to understand that rest, to walk in harmony where the world, and you got to understand this, your peace and your joy, it is an example to those who are broken and hurting. That people would walk into these doors in Believers Chapel and they see us in a sense of, man, these people, they really do love God. They really do worship God. Man, their hearts are towards Him and their worship of Him. They walk into this place and say, well, I've never really seen this, but man, these people are really serious about their God. They worship. And man, these people are very serious about one another, where they really do care for each other. And there is a peace within this place of this community. Man, we are called to be brothers and sisters in Christ. And when we are walking in a sense that is right, as God has called right, there is a peace and there is a joy that follows that. Now listen, when you understand peace, that means that there is a rest within you. There is peace within you. And it is a supernatural peace that comes from the Holy Spirit. And there is a joy. There is this cheerfulness that is in the Holy Spirit that just can't be taken. Because there's moments that reports come and worry comes, and that's the moments where we kick our worship into a just really a sincere different level. A sincere, when worry comes, I'm going to worship God Almighty, the creator of the heavens and the earth, and my focus will be on Him, and through my worship of Him and my acknowledgement of how great He is and how big He is and how awesome He is, and that when I draw near to Him, He draws near to me, and that He is my Heavenly Father and He gives good gifts and I'm going to belong to Him, and in all of that I'm going to worship through my worry. And I'm going to praise Him and thank Him and be amazed by Him. I'm going to praise Him through my problem. We're taking our mindset off the worry and off the problem and putting it on our source of life, our source of hope. And we look at this, come on. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. It's not what goes in. But the kingdom of God, those who are identified by the kingdom of God, those who are identified by Christ, what are you identified by? Your right living. Your peace. That means without strife or contention. Church, what does that look like to really walk in a sense in this crazy chaotic world that you just walk through life without strife? It doesn't mean strife doesn't come. It's not this false premise of you get a bad report and you jump up and down. Oh, I'm supposed to be joyful. No, that's not really real. It's you in the midst of it putting your attention towards the one in a supernatural way to say, your spirit is in me and let me find that joy that's deep within. Let me find a rest in this. Let me find a peace in this because I'm completely in a place to completely trust in you now. And in that, I can sleep good at night. When I have really come to place, say, God, I trust you. That's what peace is. It is a quiet. It is without strife. It is in the midst of chaos, there's a balance. And enjoy in the Holy Spirit. For he who in this way serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved by men. So then we pursue the things that make for peace and the building up of one another. That's humility. That's a selflessness. That's a love. That's a compassion. What is it to pursue peace? It's the opposite of what brought strife. People talking about one another, gossip, slander, that brings strife. What brings peace? A compassion, encouragement, forgiveness, selfless, love, humility. That's what he's saying. In the community, pursue peace. Go after it. Work for what it is to build up one another. Man, I love it. Why? Because we're called to be an example to those who are out there who are hurting and who are broken, who are without hope, to come into this place of a family and a community where there is peace and there is rest and there is harmony, and we come to a place where there is this real, true sense of joy. When they come to a place to realize, man, these people are just like me. They go through ups and downs. They have their seasons of life. Difficult times have come. But how do they reach in and go so deep and have this sense of joy about them? Because it's supernatural, because it's found, look at the verse 17, it's found in the Holy Spirit. Come on, chapter 15, verse 13 says this. Now may the God of hope. Man, I think if this world needs us to be light, for we're a city on a hill. But church, there's so many people that are just outside these walls. This is why I really believe that Believer's Chapel in years to come will be a very safe place for those who are broken, for those who are hopeless, for those who are without God, for those who are without Jesus, for those who really have no joy, for those who have no light. That they'd come in and see something different as an example of those who've gone through difficult times, for those who have gone through same circumstance type thing, but we've done it different. Why? Because we have the God of hope where within us. It's a game changer. It's supernatural, folks, when we get this. And I love this. For the God of hope may fill you to be full. We talked about this last week. To be controlled by with all joy. To be filled with all joy and peace, and believing so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Listen, that the God of hope would fill you in what? In joy and in peace. What's it like to be born again believer, to know that you're walking full of the Holy Spirit, to have that sense? And I love how God puts it. He says we're supposed to live life and live it abundantly. He's supposed to, anything we ask or think, he can do above and beyond. I mean, he's not a God that says, oh, I love you, but you're just going to squeak by. I love you and I've adopted you, but I'm only going to give you just enough. To live abundantly. To live above and beyond all that we could ask or think. That you would abound. Sean, I'm not just going to give you enough hope just to squeak by. He says, I want you to abound in hope. I want it to be above and beyond, that you are so full of hope that it's evident in your joy and in your peace. Don't let anyone come in and steal your joy. Don't let anyone come in and steal your peace. Don't let anyone come in and steal your hope. Because God says, I want you to be full of joy. I want you to be full of peace. And I want you to abound in hope. I love this. When you grasp this, by what? How is that even possible to go through the different things that we have to go through the different cycles of life, ups and downs, the reality of the disappointments, and to go through this whole sense that God says, Sean, in all of the ups and downs, I want your hope to be up here because of me. I want you to abound in, okay, God, but how is that possible? By the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the only way. There's a supernatural dunamis, a power, an explosive, a strength that comes in the Holy Spirit. And He reigns and He dwells within every single one of us who've called on the name of Jesus for salvation. And God says, you tap into Him, then you will have a hope that abounds and you will be full of joy and you will be full of peace. And you'll understand what this looks like. But when we try it on our own, we fail. But when we tap into the supernatural that's within us, say, God, I don't know what this looks like, and it's hard for me to define it, but God, I want that peace that surpasses all understanding. Philippians 4 is beautiful. You know what? Let me just read. If you can go there, go there. I want to read this to you. I'm not sure how far we're going to get with the other verses, but I want to read this to you. This is so good. This came out on Sunday night at Seek. And I love this. This is Paul. He's closing out this letter to the Philippians. And he says this, and I love this in verse 4. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Rejoice, that's joy, in the Lord always, always, at all times, rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men, for the Lord is near. And he says this, verse 6, be anxious for nothing. Well, that's difficult. Well, that's tough. I just got a report this week, or I just saw this take place this week, or this is, what do you mean be anxious for? You know how difficult that is? Be anxious for nothing. And then does it just quit there? But it says what? I love this. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything. What's the everything here? But in the times that you feel anxious. It's not like we're in lollipops and gumdrop land, like candy land. Oh, I'm a Christian. Everything's wonderful. Woo-hoo-hoo. No, that's, come on. Life happens. Sometimes things go desperately wrong for us who love Jesus. But in everything, in that moment, I love this. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication. In those moments, we go to God and we get on our face and we pray. And we continue to pray, and we continue to pray, and we continue to seek Him, and we continue to seek Him. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, in those moments, in those everything moments that's attached to worry and anxiety, let your requests be made known to God. In everything, give thanks and let your requests be made known to God. And I love this. Please hear this. And the God of peace, you can read it in Philippians 4, the God of peace. I love this. That God of rest, that God who has filled you with rest, with peace, with tranquility, the God of peace will surpass all comprehension. How's that possible? The God of peace will surpass all comprehension. What happens? And will what? Will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Why is it? Please hear this, folks. Let me ask a question and then answer it. Why is it that peace is so critical for you and I in the midst of difficult times? Because it will guard you. It will guard your heart. Peace. What does peace? That tranquility, that stillness, that rest, that harmony, that quietness. The Bible says that is why you can go through anything and come to a place and say, man, you can't steal my peace. I need my peace. I need that supernatural peace because it's a peace that God gives and I can be full of that peace according to Romans 15, 13. And I need to walk in that peace because it's my guard. It guards me. It guards my heart. It guards my mind. Gang, we see it all the time when people lose their peace. Things begin to enter into their heart and things begin to enter into their mind and they go to the absolute worst case scenario. I went to the doctor and there's this lump and all of a sudden, bam, it's worst case scenario. I lost my job and bam, worst case scenario. But what happens when you understand a supernatural peace that just comes over you at a rest to say, God, I need to be full of peace. In this moment, I need to tap into the supernatural. And I need a peace that will guard my heart and it will guard my mind. Isn't it amazing that Ephesians 6, a part of the armor for a soldier was to shod his feet. And in the preparation of the gospel, it calls it peace. The peace of the preparation of the gospel shods your feet. This is so vital because we're talking about guarding your heart and your mind. Why is it when a soldier guarded his feet? And God says, listen, when you understand what peace does, when you understand what it means to guard your feet, to shod your feet, the enemy would set up traps and you'd walk into enemy territory and they'd set up traps to try to trip you up in your feet so that you would fall forward so then they could ambush. It's the same thing what happens. This is what he says. That peace, it will guard your feet. Don't get tripped up. Don't let the enemy come and ambush. But when you understand, you can tap into a supernatural peace and a supernatural joy. It will guard. I'm not letting anything in here. Nothing's coming here. It's way past just a surface level peace. I'm not going to let anything steal my joy. The joy of the Lord is my strength. If I let something steal my joy, then it's taken my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Times we just need to get serious as a church. They say the enemy can't have it. The circumstance can't have it. You can't steal my joy because it's my strength. Man, if you have time, you can go read 1 Thessalonians 1. The whole chapter talks about joy and tribulation. It's amazing because in that chapter, Paul makes it very clear that that's your example. Your example to the world is that when you go through things that they go through, they see a difference in you. They see, how is it that you can have this peace that surpasses all comprehension? How is it that you go through the same thing I go through? And you can have this rest within your spirit. It's crazy. I know it's supernatural, right? And it's Jesus, and you can have the same. How is it that you go through these trials and tribulations, you go through these difficult times? How is it that you can still function from a place of joy? That deep-rooted depression hasn't set in. How is that possible? Because the joy in my Lord, that's my strength. That's where I gain my strength from. And you can't have it. It's supernatural. What is it to be the example to a lost, hurting, broken world where God the Father says, I want them out there to abound in a hope that they've never known. I want them to walk in the supernatural of joy and peace. It only comes from that relationship with Jesus Christ. It comes from right living. It comes from a peace. It comes from a joy. It comes from abounding in hope. It comes from a sense of realizing that guards you, that guards you. And I love this. Let me close with this. Philippians 4 says this. And he says it. I love this. Be anxious for nothing. In everything, prayer, supplication, thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, guard your heart and mind in Christ. Guard your heart and your mind. Please hear this, church. Please hear this. Be very careful where your mind goes. Because he simply goes right into this. He says, guard your heart and your mind. And then Paul's final words, going into his final words, he says this, finally, brethren, whatever is true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, good report, excellent, worthy of praise, dwell. Meditate on these things. Where does your mind go? You want to keep your peace? You want to keep your joy? Keep your mind. Keep your mind. And I love this. Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of a good repute or a good report, if there's anything excellent, and if anything worthy of praise, get your mind stuck on these. That peace that surpasses all understanding. Just bow your heads, please, for a moment. folks, we've been talking about this series in regards to the Holy Spirit, and there's been a lot of technical stuff and even theology stuff. But this is even from last week, what it really looks like to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And then this week, man, these are the action weeks. These are the weeks where we see, man, there is such a benefit to walk and surrender to the Holy Spirit, to realize that He is in me and there is a supernatural work in me that I can tap into. Whether it's craziness at work, whether it's craziness at home, whether it's craziness from a doctor's report, whether it's craziness in the finances, whether it's craziness, wherever that looks like for you. Don't let it steal your peace. Don't let it steal your joy. Focus. Focus, folks. We even sang it today. God, when I draw near to you, you will draw near to me. And I need to focus on that. Holy Spirit, that I tap into the supernatural joy and the supernatural peace. The enemy can't have them. It's my strength. It's my guard. And in God, I can abound in hope. And I can be full of joy. And I can be full of peace. The enemy, you can't have them. And he'll use circumstance to try to rip them. He'll use people to try to rip them. You just say, no, no, no. It's my strength. And it's my guard. And I can't lose them. My mind's going to be stuck on the one who's given me peace. Who's given me joy. Jesus said, my peace I leave with you. My peace. The peace of Christ, who's the Prince of Peace, He says, I give it to you. Father, we just are amazed. You love us that much, God. Your Spirit is in us, God. I just pray over this crew at this service, God. Father, if there's anyone in this place that just, they've allowed unrest to settle in. They've allowed depression to take over. They've lost their strength. God, they've lost their guard. God, in this moment, I say that they would return to a place to say, God, I want to trust in you. God, I'm asking by your Spirit that just even supernaturally in this moment right here, God, that those who are at unrest and those who are chaotic within, God, there would be a sense of a rest beginning to overtake them now, right here, right now, as they just turn to you and say, God, it's my guard. I cannot lose my guard. Guard my heart. Guard my mind. Let me be filled with peace in this moment. You ask God that. And I just get a picture of a boiling pot of water, and it's just boiling, and it's just all crazy, and it's turbulence, and it's nuts, and then you pour salt into that boiling water, and it just comes down to quiet. I'm asking the Holy Spirit to just allow you to come to a place of just quiet. The Holy Spirit, we wouldn't be able to explain it. It would be beyond comprehension. It would be beyond understanding. But there would just be a peace, a supernatural rest. Today, right now. Not focusing on what brought the unrest, not focusing on what brought the chaos, focusing on you. My mind is set on you. God, I'm asking that in this moment there would just be a rest, a peace that would overcome the Spirit. Not surface level, God, way past that, supernatural peace. Right now. God, there be a rest in their hearts. There be a rest in their spirit. We walk out changed. Supernaturally changed. Father, we love you so much. We thank you. We thank you for your Spirit. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Amen.